ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपरान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् शारदवेदं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण कर्णासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरे वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Do you have any problem if we start at 9:30 and end at 11:30?
9:30 to 11:30, that's fine.
That's okay with you.
Yeah, the only thing is in the morning I may be a little late because sometimes they start breakfast late.
Where do you take breakfast?
Brahmachari Kitchen.
On Ekadashi they are always late. Mm-hmm.
This month Ekadashi is Saturday, next Ekadashi, so...
Ekadashi is on 9, it's at 9:30, no?
No, this day was Saturday.
But before we used to have some mantra part and then
stop. There may be more devotees like me who want it in hand.
Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary 2, text 47, Karmanyevadhikaraste Mahapaleshu Kadachana Mahakarma Phalahetubhur Mate Sangostva Karma. Evam Ekameva Arjunam Swapriyasakham Lakshikritya ज्ञान भक्ति कर्म योगान आचिख्यासुः। भगवान ज्ञान भक्ति योगौ रोच्य तयोर अधीनस्य अन अधिकार विमृश्य निष्काम कर्म योगमाह कर्मणीति। नाउ कृष्ण एंटिसिपेटेड दैट ओके ही इज टॉकिंग टू द सेम पर्सन अर्जुन। And what he's doing is, he's, anyway, we know that he's using Arjuna as a nimitta, as an instrument in his teaching to the entire humanity. So, till now, the Lord considered Arjuna to be eligible for Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Now, he's considering that Arjuna might not be qualified for that. For them, and so he is teaching Nishkama Karma Yoga. Keep in mind, Nishkama Karma Yoga is the same as Nishkama Bhakti Mishra Karma. Jnana Yoga is Bhakti Mishra Jnana. So with that in mind, he speaks this verse. Karmanyeva Adhikaraste Ma Phaleshviti Phalakankshinopi Atyanta Ashuddha Chitta Bhavanti. People who engage in Vedic prescribed activities and desire the material fruits that are assigned to each of those prescribed activities, their hearts are extremely contaminated. Tvam tu praya shuddha chitta iti maya gyatva eva uchyase iti bhava. But I am talking to you because you are almost pure hearted. Therefore, you should not desire the fruits. that can come from the prescribed activities. Keep in mind, fruit is something like, if you engage in such and such an activity, then you go to the heavenly planets. If you are a good grihastha, in your next life you go to the heavenly planets. In this life also you get to enjoy your wife, children, house, so on, over time. That's called the karma phala. That is the fruit. Karma is the activity, a duty. You will follow the regulative principles. You will take care of the finances for your family. You will take care of your children. These are all duties, karma. Karma phala refers to the enjoyment that is allotted to that duty. To every duty, there's a phala, there's a fruit which is allotted to it. That is called the karma phala. This should be clearly understood. So when it is said, you should not desire the fruit, it means that you should not desire that which can come out of it, the material fruit that can come out of it. You should only engage in this activity desiring liberation. You should not desire this thing. There are two fruits. One is the spiritual fruit of liberation, and there is the material fruit for every prescribed duty, there is a specified material fruit also. You should not desire that material fruit, that's the whole point. So I know that you are almost pure hearted, therefore I am telling you this. No, karmani krite phalam avashyam bhavishyat yevet tatraha ma karma phala hetur bhu phala kamanaya hi karma kurvan phalasya hetu utpadakah bhavati. Now Arjuna might be thinking, but if you perform a karma, a Vedic prescribed activity, the karma phala will come because it's allotted to that. So then Krishna says, no, don't become a cause for that fruit. The idea is, if you perform that karma and you desire that karma phala, then you get that karma phala. If you perform that karma desiring liberation, you don't get that karma phala, so you don't get bound to the material world. But you get liberated. That is the idea. I am blessing you. May this not happen to you. Karmani swadharma akarane vikarmani papeva sangastava mastu me kintu dvesheya vastu iti punarapi ashir diyate iti. Again I am blessing you that may you not become attached to akarma. Akarma means not doing your swadharma. And vikarma. Vikarma means sinful activity. Offenses, sinful activity. These are all vikarma. Atra agrimadhyaye vyamishreneva vakyena uddhim mohaya sivame iti arjuna ukti darshana atra adhyaye purvatra vakyanam avattarikabhihi na ativa sangati viditsita iti gyayam. Now from the next chapter we understand Arjuna will say that you appear to be speaking equivocal words. So from that we understand that in this chapter, when Krishna is introducing a new line of thought to Arjuna, externally there doesn't appear to be a very clear connection between those. So this should be understood. Kintu tvad agyayam sarathyadam yataham tishthami tata atvamabhi mad agyayam tishtheti Krishna Arjuna yor mano anulopoyam atra drashtavyaha. So he's saying Krishna has this in mind. Carrying out your order, I have become your charioteer, etc. So like that, you carry out my order and you engage in prescribed duty in this way. Yogastha kurukarmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samobhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. 48. Bhakti Vinod's commentary. Phalakamana parityag purvak bhakti yogastha hayya swadharma vihita karmacharan kar. Yogastha means bhakti yogastha. When it is said you perform your swadharma without desiring the fruits of those swadharma and being situated in yoga, the idea is perform your swadharma without desiring the swadharma phalas, at the same time be situated in devotional service to me. Because for any of these things to have effect, you must engage in Swarupa Siddha Bhakti at least to a small extent. Otherwise, you will have no purification of heart. purification of heart actually comes from devotional service to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. So that always has to be there. That is why it is called Nishkama Bhakti Mishra Karma. It's called Bhakti Mishra Karma. Bhakti has to be there. Just like when you take a tablet is given to you. You take the tablet with water. But the water is not going to give you the effect. It is the tablet which is going to give you the effect. Similarly, bhakti is the tablet. That karma which we are mixing in, that may be like water. So with the base of karma, you take the medicine of bhakti. That is our point. So that is why he is explaining yogastha means bhaktis, bhakti yogastha. Nishkama karmana prakaram shikhayati Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is the way to engage in nishkama karma. Yogastha iti tena jaya jaya yos tulya buddhi san sangravam meva swadharmam kuru iti bhava. Without considering or having an equipoised mind towards victory in the battle or defeat in the battle, consider this war to be your swadharma and just do it. Ayam nishkama karma yoga eva jnana yoga tvena parinamati. It is this very nishkama karma yoga which transforms into jnana yoga. Nishkama bhakti mishra karma becomes bhakti mishra jnana. I should put it out. It's important. It's good for your reference. I'll just draw this again. Bhakti Mishra. I'm talking about the Nishkama type. Here you have. Bhakti Mishra Jnana. Bhakti Mishra Yoga. Bhakti Marga. Increasing bhakti. Direct process. Indirect process. Slow process. Now he is talking the pathway of Nishkama Bhakti Mishra Karma leading to Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, etc. Jnana Yoga Pyevam Purvottara Granthartha Tatparyataha Gyeyaha. And we have to understand Jnana Yoga by considering the earlier and later shlokas here. Okay. Then we will move on to Acharya Vanadeva Vidya Bhushan. Text 44. Bhogeshwari Prasaktanam Sayapakrata Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhu Navvidhiyate. Tesham Purvokta Yor Bhogeshwari Yor Prasaktanam Kshayitva Dosha Aspurtya Tayor Abhinivishtanam taya pushpitaya vacha apakratam viluptam chetaha viveka jnanam yesham tadrashanam samadhav iti yojyam. Of course, Krishna is talking about these people absorbed in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas, and Krishna is saying that these people, for these people, samadhi is impossible. They are not fixed in understanding the living entity as being different from the body. For people who are attached to bhoga and aishwarya, to material enjoyment and opulence that come from the karma phalas allotted to the karmas, they do not see in their hearts. They are unable to understand that there is a problem in these karma phalas being perishable. You see, all the karma phalas are perishable. They're going to die. They're going to, like, for instance, if you do certain pious activities in your next life, you get born in a very rich family. So those pious activities are the karma, and the karma phala is to be born in a rich family. This is how the Vedas are talking. If you do this, you get that. If you do that, you get that. If you do this, you get that. So do this, that is karma. You get that is karma phala. So now all the karma phalas are perishable. Whatever it is perishable. Whether you get nice children, you get a wife, you get a house, you get money, you get beauty, you become educated, you become a scholar, whatever it is. Anything within the material world is perishable. So they are unable to understand this problem. This is a problem. Perishable means it's a problem, because it's going to go away. Again, you're going to hanker for it. The living entity wants things which are imperishable. If it wants imperishable sense enjoyment. We want sense enjoyment to go on and on and on and on and on, never ending. So this is a problem. But this, they are unable to understand this because they are attached or overwhelmed by bhoga and aishwarya. And therefore, their minds are completely, their intelligence is completely covered over by all these flowery words of the Vedas. Their discrimination is covered over. Chetaha viveka jnanam. Their power of discrimination is completely covered over. And therefore, they are unable to come to the point of samadhi. Samyag adhiyate smin atma tattva yathatmyam iti niruktehe samadhir manas tasmin nityarthaha. So, their minds are not fixed in understanding the self. Traigunya vishaya veda nistraigunya bhavarjan nirdandva nityasattvastu niryogakhyama atmavan. Nano phalan nairapek yena karmani kurvananapi tani swaphalair yojayeyus tat swabhavyat tatah katham tad buddhe sambhavah iti chet. Krishna considers that Arjuna might be thinking that if I am indifferent to the karma phalas and you simply want me to do the karma, but nevertheless the karmas and karma phalas are connected. The Vedas are saying if you do this you get that. That means that karma itself will attract the karma phala forcibly, because the Vedas are saying that if you do this karma you get that karma phala. By the very nature, by the very constitution of that arrangement, there's a relationship. So how is it possible for me to develop the consciousness that I should only perform the prescribed activity seeking liberation and be sure that the karma phala is not going to come? Itjetatraha traigunyati. Trayanam gunanam karma traigunyam. Traigunyak means activities within the three modes of material nature. Guna vachana brahmana adibhya karmani cha iti sutrat hyanch sakamatvam iti arthaha. In other words, this is performing activities with mundane motivation. Tad vishaya veda karmakandani. And the Vedas in this context refer to those which have such activities as their subject matters. In other words, they refer to the karmakanda portion of the Vedas. Tvam tu tachirobhuta vedanta nishtho nistraigunyo nishkamo bhava. However, you be situated on the platform of the Upanishads, which are called Vedanta. The Upanishads are called Vedanta, the conclusion of the Vedas. They are considered to be the crest jewels of the Vedas. Veda Shiraha, Veda Murdha, head of the Vedas. Vedanta. Vedanta means Upanishads. Vedanta Sutra means the message of the Upanishads, the essential message of the Upanishads. Vedanta Nishtho, Nistraigunya, Nishkamo Bhava. You become Nishkama. You don't be Sakama. I am Artha. This is the whole, this is the meaning. Pitrikoti Vatsalohi Vedaha. The Veda is as affectionate as millions of parents. Anadi Bhagavad Vimukhan Maya Gunair Nibadhan Tat Gunasrishtas Satvikadi Sukasaktan Prati Tat Kaman Anurudhya Phalani Prakashayan Swasmin Tan Vishrambhayati. They are all very important statements. Out of such great affection, the Vedas are very compassionate upon the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls, since time immemorial, beginningless time, they are averse to Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. They are conditioned, they are arrested by the three modes of Maya. And they are very attached to the happiness that comes from the three modes of material nature within the material world. They are attached, they are addicted to them. So therefore, as millions of parents, as we have, the Veda has the affection of millions of mothers and fathers upon the conditioned souls. So they sanction the desires. They sanction the desires of the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are anyway addicted to happiness which is material. They are anyway averse to the Supreme Lord. So they have all these mundane desires. So the Vedas sanction those desires and they manifest the fruits. So in that way, why do they do this? There's a reason why the Veda does this. The Veda is doing this because it wants the conditioned souls to first of all believe in the Veda. So the Veda wants that these conditioned souls have faith, trust the Veda. Somehow first step is develop trust. So this is the policy. What do you want? You want to eat something? Okay, here I'll cook and give you this. A mother gives like this. So when the mother goes on doing that, the child develops faith in the mother. So similarly, the Veda also, over so many lifetimes, the Veda repeatedly fulfills the desires of the conditioned souls by giving certain procedures. Okay, you want sex life? You want a good wife? You want children? You want wealth? You want education? Fine, I'll give you that. But you do this thing and you'll get it. And they speak just like a father and mother. They sanction the desire. They don't come and try to crucify you. Say, hey, why are you having all these mundane desires? Maya! They don't speak like that. They sanction the desire. That's all. That's all you want. What's the big deal? Just do this and you'll get it. So why do they do like this? Because the Veda is doing this to convince the conditioned soul. Listen to me. Listen to me. So Shruti is considered the mother. Shruti is called the mother. So the Veda, having the affection of millions of mothers and fathers, out of excessive affection for the conditioned souls, they first want to develop, have the conditioned souls develop that trust. Swasmin tan vishrambhayati. So first point is develop confidence in the Veda. Tad vishrambhena tat parishilinaste tan murdhavuto upanishat pradita atma yathatpya nishayena tam buddhim yanti iti na cha akamitanyapi tanyapatte yuhu. That's the whole point. So he's saying that after they develop that confidence, then, and they're experienced in this, then they come in contact with the higher portion of the Vedas, the Upanishads. So from the Upanishads, they get to understand the glory of realization of the soul as being categorically superior to all forms of material enjoyment. So the first point that the Vedas, the first step is this. The Vedas point out that, look, why are you interested in ordinary sense gratification? ordinary sense gratification means you can just go get, you can just get, do some sinful activity, get. So the Vedas say, no, you should be interested in karma phala. Karma phala is special sense gratification, enhanced sense gratification. It is enhanced. So, like for instance, the Mahabharata. If you study the Mahabharata, you more or less develop the desire to go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there. Because there everything is nice. It is decent. This is all low class. This human life is like a slum. Useless it is. What are you going to get here? What kind of food do you get here? What kind of drink you get here? What kind of woman you get here? So many problems. If you enjoy a woman, immediately she becomes pregnant. She has a child. Or otherwise it leads to sinful activities. You go to hell and you are beaten nicely in hell. But you just come to the heavenly planets, no problem. The rules are very relaxed. The rules are very relaxed. So the first step is get the conditioned souls from ordinary sense gratification to karmaphala. Then the next step is karmaphala is mundane. It is still material. Why are you interested in something material? You should be interested in the self, the soul. The soul is even more precious. Come to the spiritual plane. Next step. So this is the second step he is talking about. When you come to the point of understanding the importance of self-realization, then you will come to Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Yes, I should realize that I am a soul different from the body, and I should realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and I should revive my relationship with Krishna. Another point is, if you desire the karma phalas and perform karma, then you get the karma phalas. If you do not desire the karma phalas and you perform karma, you don't get the karma phalas. That is also a point. Kamitanam eva tesham phalatva shravana. The Shruti clearly says that only if you have such desires for karma phala and engage in karma, you get the karma phala. If you don't desire it, you don't get it. Nacha sarvesham vedanam traigunya vishayatvam nistraigunyataya apramanikatva apattehe. It is not that all the Vedas speak about mundane karma, because they also speak about bhakti, which is transcendental, and otherwise any topic which is transcendental would become apramanika, unauthoritative. If the Vedas don't talk about anything, it's unauthoritative. So any discussion about transcendence will become unauthoritative. So he says, no, it's not like that. Nanu shitoshnadi nivaranaya vastrade kamyatva katham nishkamatvam. But to counteract cold, heat and so on, I need to have clothes, etc. And therefore, I have material desires. How can I become nishkama? Tatraha nirdvandva iti. Matra sparshasu kaunteya ityadi vimarshena dvandvasaha bhava. Nishkama means become a dvandvasaha. Dvandvasaha means you tolerate the dualities of material existence. I have already spoken the words matra sparshasu kaunteya. So considering those things, should tolerate the dualities of material existence. Tatra hetuhu nitya iti. But how is that possible? That's possible because if you become nitya sattvastha. Look at that word, nitya sattvastha. Nityam yat sattvam apparinamitvam jivanishtham tat sthaha tat vibhavyeti arthaha. Consider that you are a jiva who does not transform eternally. You eternally never transform. So why should you be affected by dualities of material existence? You should consider all these things. Tata eva niryoga kshema. And therefore, you should not worry about your yoga kshema. Alabdhalabho yoga. Yoga means attaining what you haven't got. Labdhasya parirakshanam kshema. Kshema means preserving what you already have. Tad rahito bhavetyatha. You give up that yoga kshema. Nanu kshut pipase tathapi badhike idichet. Oh, if I give up yoga kshema, then my hunger, thirst and all of these things will come and there will be an obstruction in my spiritual practice. Imagine if you give up yoga kshema, what are you going to do? Iti che tatraha atmavaniti. Then Krishna says, no, you be Atmavan. What does Atmavan mean? Atma Vishvambhara Paramatma. Sa yasya dhyayataya asti tadasho bhavetyarthaha. Atma means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The one who maintains the entire universe, like his family. He is Vishvambhara. He who maintains the entire Vishwa. He is Paramatma. He is the Supreme Personality of God, the Super Soul, the Supreme Soul. You should constantly meditate upon Him. If you do that, then you are called an Atmavan. You possess the Supreme Atma. Sate dehayatram sampadayet iti artha. He will take care of your bodily maintenance. You do your karma. You do whatever is prescribed in the Vedas. Everything else will come. Automatically Krishna will take care. So you don't bother about it, he says. Yavan arthaudapani sarvata saplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. Nanu sarvan vedan adhiyanasya bhukala vyayad bhuvikshepa sambhavacha katham tad buddhir tad katham tad buddhir abhyudayaha tatraha yavaniti. Oh, when will I study all these Vedas and spend so much time, spend so much energy, and my mind may become distracted by so many things. When will this resolute determination come up? Because Krishna said the Vedas, they deal with all these things and gradually they take you from ordinary sense gratification to karma phala. From karma phala they take you to the point of self-realization. So when will all that happen? So Arjuna might think like that, and therefore Krishna says, Yavan Artha. Sarvata Samplodhadiketi Istirne Udapane Jalashaye Snanadyarthinaha Yavan Snana Panadir Arthaha Prayojanam Tavaneva Satena Tasmat Sampadyate. See, suppose you have a large reservoir of water. Then, one who is desiring to take bath, etc., or to drink water, he only takes that much water as required. He only takes that much water as required. He don't take the whole. He doesn't take the whole. He doesn't go to a large lake, for instance, and he doesn't want to take all that water to take bath. You just need a little bit of water for your purpose. So that much only he takes. So like that, evam sarveshu sopanishatsu vedeshu brahmanasya veda adhyayinaha vijanataha atma yathatmi jnanam labdhu kamasya yavan tad jnana siddhi lakhanortha syat tavaneva tena tebhya sampadyate ityataha. So similarly, a person who is seeking self-realization, who is greedy for self-realization, he, in whatever is required for spiritual, for the perfection of his spiritual realization, that person, he only takes anything which is favorable for that from all over the Vedas, Upanishads, etc. He is not interested in anything more than that. So even though there is a whole Vedas, it doesn't mean you have to go through all the Vedas to come to that point. You've come to that point. Now you understand this. Self-realization is the main topic in the Vedas. So why do you have to go through that whole scheme? That is meant for unintelligent conditioned souls. Somehow or other you've come to this point. So now you take only the help of those portions of the Vedas which help you in self-realization. You don't be bewildered by all the other things that come in the Vedas. You should not be bewildered by all those things. Tathacha asva shakha yaiva sa upanishada achirenaiva tat siddhau tat buddhir abhyudiyad eva. So you quickly take advantage of your Vedic branch and along with the Upanishads, and you can quickly get perfection, spiritual perfection, and you will be able to develop that spiritual realization.
Karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachanam Ma karma phala hetur bhur mati sangostva karmani. Nanu karma vir jnana siddhi rishyate chet तर्हि तस्य शमादीन्येव अन्तरंगत्वात् अनुष्ठेयानि सन्तु किं बहुप्रयासैः तैर् इति चेत् तत्राः ओके इफ् बै डूइंग वैदिक प्रिस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटीज आई विल डेवलप स्पिरिचुअल रियलाइजेशन ज्ञान देन सो देन वाई सो मच ऑफ एंडेवर आई शुड पुट इन डूइंग माय दिस सॉर्ट ऑफ कर्म लाइक युद्ध like a war, why can't I just take advantage of the rules meant for developing brahmanical qualities such as shama, peace of mind, dama, control of senses and so on, which are prescribed for the brahmanas. Brahmanas are given prescriptions which are directly suitable for liberation. Iti chet tatraha karmanyeva iti jatyaika vachanam. Now you be attached to, you engage in your karma. You have a right to engage in your karma. Here, karmani is in the singular. Karmani. This is seventh case. Seventh case, singular. Karmani. In karma. You have an eligibility to engage in karma. Karmani comes in singular. But he explains, it's jatya eka vachanam. Here, this karma includes multifarious activities inside that karma category. ते तव स्वधर्मे भी युद्धे अधर्म बुद्धे अशुद्ध चित्तस्य तावत् कर्मस्वेव युद्धादिषु अधिकारोस्तु मयैतानि कर्तव्यानीति तत्फलेषु वंदकेषु तव अधिकारो मास्तु मयैतानि भोक्तव्यानीति. सी योर कॉन्शियसनेस इज इम्प्योर बिकॉज यू आर थिंकिंग दैट रिलीजियस वॉर इज अधर्म. इट इज एक्चुअली योर स्वधर्म. इट इज नॉट अधर्म. सो you should engage in this karma for the sake of purification, and you should consider these are my duties. I am meant to do these things. You should not think that by doing this religious war, I'll go to heavenly planets or I'll enjoy the kingdom. They are all karma phalas. They are causes for bondage. You don't have any right to think about them. In other words, you should not think that these are meant to be enjoyed by me. Mayaitani bhoktavyani iti mastu. You should not think that these are meant to be enjoyed by me. You should think these duties are meant to be carried out by me. Anu phaleccha virahepi tani swaphale yojayayu riti chetatraha ma karma iti karmaphala naam hetur utpadakastvam mabhu kamanaya kritani tani swaphale yojayanti kamitanam eva phalanam niyojya visheshanatvena phalatva amnata. Again he repeats the point that only when you perform a karma with a desire for karma phala, that karma phalas will come. Otherwise, they will not come. So don't be disturbed. Ateva vandakani phalani apatishyanti iti bhayat akarmani karma akarane tava sangaha preetir mastu kintu vidveshaya vastu iti artha. So don't be frightened that if I engage in this war, then I have to enjoy the karma phala forcibly. Don't be frightened. And don't think, therefore, let me give up this prescribed duty. Because these prescribed duties are such a problem. If I do them, then these material fruits come and they entangle me. So don't think like that. You should not have any attachment to giving up your prescribed duty. Rather, you should hate giving up your prescribed duty. Should be responsible. Nishkamataya anushtitani karmani yashti sanyavad antareva jnana nishtam nishpadayanti iti. The idea is that if you perform your karma desiring liberation, desiring purification of heart, then from inside you develop spiritual realization. Shamadini tu tat prishtal lagnanyeva syur iti bhava. The qualities of shama, dama, etc. Which are good for a brahmanical life of sadhana for liberation, they will naturally follow. So you don't be disturbed by that. They will all come. Purvoktam Vishayati. Now he clarifies in the next shloka, Yogastah Kuru Karmani, the previous verse. Tvam Sangam Phalavilasham Kartutva Vinivesham Cha Tyaktva Yogastah San Karmani Kuru Yudhadini. You give up your hankering for the karma phala, and you also give the idea that I am the one independently causing that karma phala to come up. The first problem is if you have a desire for the karma phala, then you will fall into maya. Adhyena maya nimajjanameva. You will definitely drown into maya. And if you think that I am the independent doer, I am the one who by performing this activity has independently brought about the result of that activity, then you are trying to steal the characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you perform a karma, you get a karma phala by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, not by your endeavor. It is not by your endeavor. It's like, for instance, if I do my homework and my mother gives me cheesecake, it is not that my homework is causing that cheesecake to come. There is an independent third person who, when she is satisfied by me, she chooses to give me cheesecake. She may choose not to give me cheesecake also. So, when I perform my karma, the karma phalas are given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by His choice, through the background arrangement of the demigods, but by, it is a person, He is a living person, it's not a machine. So, don't try to steal that characteristic of the Supreme Lord. Dutiyena tu, swatantriya lakhana paresha dharma chauryam, tena tan maya vyakopaha. And by doing that, you really get into problem. So don't do that. So avoid these two problems, and then you will be able to cross over illusion, maya. Tena tan maya vyakopaha. So if you avoid these two things, if you avoid hankering for the karma phalas, and you also avoid thinking that you are independently causing material sense enjoyment for yourself, then you will be able to cross over maya. Ataha tayoha parityaga iti bhava. Yogastha padam vrinavati siddhya siddhya. Perform these activities without any raga, without any affection for them, without any hatred for them. Just become neutral to your material duties and execute them. Idam meva samatvam maya yogastha ityatra yoga shabdena uktam chitta samadhana rupatva. This is what is called yoga, because they lead to pacification of the mind. Madhva. Madhva gives very, very important additional information of a different type. Madhvacharya is always having to say something quite unique, additional, extra. So he, first of all, he handles this point. In this whole series of verses from 42, 43, 44, 45, 46 also, and 47. He tackles this issue that the Vedas, they appear to say so many mundane things. Now, one of the things that Madhvacharya very strongly teaches in his writings is all the Vedas are talking about the one Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. There are 9 teachings of Madhvacharya which are considered cardinal, primary. These are called Navaprameya. And Acharya Baladeva Vidyabhushan has also repeated all these 9 points in his writings. So we accept these 9 points. And one of those important cardinal teachings of Madhvacharya is all the Vedas are talking only one thing. It's only one thing that all the Vedic literatures are talking. They're talking about attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Vishnu means Vishnu Tattva. What we Gaudiya Vaishnavas refer to as Vishnu Tattva, Madhva says Vishnu. So if that is the case, then why are these people who are attached to the Vedas criticized so severely in this section of the Bhagavad Gita? Here you see how Krishna criticizes them. Vedavada ratah partha nanyadasti iti vadina. He is saying they are all lusty people. The Vedas are talking about heavenly planets. What is all this? How did all these things come up? How did all these things come up? Aren't the Vedas all focused on one Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu? Why all these heavenly attainments? Why are these things spoken of? So he explains that. Okay. He first of all handles this expression Vedavadarata that appears in text 42. Yami mam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avipashitaha Vedavadarata partha nanyadasti iti vatimaha. That came in text 42. So then he says Vedavadarataha karmadi vachaka Vedavadarataha. They're only talking about those statements of the Vedas which talk about prescribed duties. In his commentary to Bhagavatam, he also writes, Na Vedeshu Alpabuddhinam Brahmatattvam Samikhyate. Less intelligent people, they are unable to see the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord, in the Vedas. Mahabuddhistu Vedeshu Pashyat Brahmaiva Kevalam. And those who are greatly intelligent, they see nothing other than Lord Vishnu in the Vedas. They only see Krishna. Lord Chaitanya also spoke like this, he taught like this after he took initiation. He was explaining the same point here in Navadvip when he was a Sanskrit teacher. He was also teaching like the same point he said. All the Vedas are talking about Krishna. They are not talking about anything other than Krishna. The only topic of the Vedas is how to get to know Krishna and how to love Krishna, how to become his devotee. This is the only topic. So, Madhva says, these people are Vedavadaratas. These people are absorbed in a few statements of the Vedas, or rather, on statements of the Vedas, which are talking about karma. Veder yan mukataha uchyate tatraivarata. These people are so absorbed in statements of the Vedas, where they are superficially, externally, apparently speaking about karma. Nanidasti iti vadinaha. And they think that there is nothing more than what the Vedas superficially appear to be talking. Paroksha vishaya vedaha. Paroksha priya ivahi devaha. There are statements that the Vedas teach indirectly. The demigods, they are very pleased with such indirect statements. In the Bhagavatam, Uddhava Gita section, the Supreme Lord says, Mam vidhatte vidhatte mam. That the Vedas are directly and indirectly talking about me. Ityadibhi parukhena prayaha bhagavantam vadanti. So, mainly, indirectly, the Vedas are talking about the Supreme Personality of God and about His devotional service and so on. But they are directly also talking about Him. Bhogeshwari gatim prati tat praptim prati tat prapti phalaeva veda iti vadanti iti artha. So these people absorbed in the Karmakanda, they think that the Vedas are only talking about how to attain bhoga and aishwarya, which are the superficial topics of the Vedas. Tesham samyak yuktir nirnayatmika buddhi samadho samadhyarte navidhiyate. These people haven't properly studied the Vedas, they don't properly understand the conclusions of the Vedas, and therefore their minds are not fixed in samadhi. They are not ready for samadhi. Samyak nirnita arthanam hi ishvare manas samadhanam samyak bhavati. Unless you are firmly convinced of the conclusions of the Vedas, only when you are firmly convinced of the conclusions of the Vedas is your mind firmly fixed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tadhi moksha sadhanam. And fixing your mind in the Supreme Lord is indeed the means for liberation. Uktam chaita tanyatra. This is also stated elsewhere. And then he quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, a statement by Bharata, Jada Bharata to Rahugana. Natasya tattva ghranaya sakshad variyasir api vachas samasam swapne niruktya grihamedha saukhyam nayasya heyan mitam swayam syam. That one has to be fixed. It cannot be absorbed in the dream of the happiness of mundane household life. Traigunya vishaya vedani straigunya bhavarjuna nirdando nityasatvasto niryoga kshema atmavan. This is an important comment here. Tam yoga buddhimaha. Now Krishna explains that type of resolute determination. Traigunya vishaya ityadina itaragdapodya vedana parokshartatva trigunasambandhi स्वर्गादि प्रतीतितः प्रतीतितः अर्थः इव भवति. द वेदस, बिकॉज दे टॉक इनडायरेक्टली, दे अपीयर टू बी टॉकिंग अबाउट द हेवनली प्लैनेट्स एटसेट्रा. दीज आर द अपेरेंट मीनिंग्स ऑफ वेदिक स्टेटमेंट्स. प्रातीतिक अर्थ, दीज आर नॉट द रियल purport, the intended meaning of the Vedas. There is an intended meaning and there is an apparent meaning. Exoteric, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say, and esoteric. There is an external, apparent meaning and there is an internal, real meaning. In reality, the Vedas are not talking about these. Going to heavenly planets, getting all those heavenly apsaras, enjoying with them. That's not there. That's all superficial. That's not the real thing. So superficially, the Vedas appear to be talking about subjects within the three modes of material nature. So when it says the Vedas deal with the three modes of material nature, it means the Vedas deal with the three modes of material nature superficially. Superficially. Parokshavadi vedo yam mitihi uktam. It has already been stated that it is known that the Vedas are parokshavadi. They speak indirectly. Ataha pratitike arthe bhranti makuru. So don't be bewildered by this apparent, this external meaning of the Vedas. Vado vishekatvam cha mukato vachanam smritam iti abhidhanam. And then he quotes from a dictionary. That Traigunya Vishaya, the word comes Vishaya. Vishaya means subject. Subject also means, in this context, Mukhataha Vachanam, which means that which you externally speak, that which you superficially speak. So, Traigunya Vishaya means the way they superficially, externally they speak these topics. They appear to be talking these things. In his commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, he quotes from a scripture called Vichara. And then that quote says, Nahi sarva pramanottamo vedo alpaphale paryavasittaha. Vedas are not aiming at teaching an insignificant fruit, such as sense gratification. That too, the Veda is the highest of all evidences. Mandadikarinam nityam tapasaiva patikshitum. Moksho nashakyate adhairya tataswargadikam vadet. Swargadishvalpa phalatam yapayitva vimokshadam. What the Veda does is, considers that people who are dull-headed, they are not able to understand liberation because they don't have the patience for it, and therefore they give a quick result like going to the heavenly planets. Heavenly planets, you just go in one lifetime, bang, just go. And then they teach you that, oh, what is there in this heavenly planets? There's nothing here. And then they talk about final liberation, how to get out of this material world. एवं वक्तुं तूतमानां नित्यो वेदः प्रवर्तते इक्षुदण्डं ददानि इति यथा वैषज्य रोचनम् एवं मन्देषु उत्तमेषु मोक्षमाहात्म्यम् उच्यते न हि अल्प फलवाग् वेदो वासुदेवैक संश्रयः. सो बट द वेदस आर टू इंटेलिजेंट पीपल, द वेदस आर डायरेक्टली टॉकिंग इटर्नली, दे टॉकिंग दिस पॉइंट दैट अबाउट लिबरेशन फ्रॉम मटीरियल बॉन्डेज. The idea is, let me give this sugar candy to the child, and if you take the sugar candy, then I'll give you medicine. That is the logic. Sometimes a mother may want the child to take medicine. The medicine may be bitter, so then the mother says, okay, you take the sugar candy. If you take this if you want to get well, you must take medicine, but first of all take the sugar candy. So when you give it in combination with something which is pleasing to the child, then the child will accept it. This point is made in the 11th canto also. So for people who are foolish, for souls who are foolish, conditioned souls who are foolish, this is the technique that is adopted. The Vedas are not interested in teaching insignificant fruits like sense gratification. The Vedas are exclusively fixed on the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Vasudevaika samshrayaha. So in his back in his Gita commentary, he says, this doesn't mean that the Vedas are only talking about mundane subject matters. Now, the Mayavadis, they take statements like this, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. And they say, look, the Vedas are also mundane. They are not Paramartha Satya. If you remember, I told you, the Mayavadis have a three-tier conception of reality. The highest is spiritual reality. The middle is conventional reality. And the third is something like a dream, inside material reality. So, the Vedas are also illusion from the ultimate spiritual perspective, according to them. So, but we don't accept that. We don't say that the Vedas are wrong or the Vedas are material. Vedas are not material. From this shloka, we should not misunderstand that the Vedas are material. Traigunya Vishaya Veda, you should not misinterpret it that the Vedas are material. Natu Veda Paksho Nishidhyate. Here, the Vedas are not being forbidden. Krishna is not telling, don't follow the Vedas. Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tatha Adavante Cha Madhya Cha Vishnu Sarvatra Giyate. This is a statement from Harivamsha. And it is stated there that the Veda, Ramayana, the Puranas, Mahabharata, in the beginning, middle and end, Lord Vishnu is glorified everywhere. He is the subject matter. Sarve Veda Yat Padam Amananti. It's a statement in the Upanishads that all the Vedas are talking about his abode. Vedo kilo dharma mulam smriti shile cha tadvidam acharas chaiva sadhu nam atmano ruchire vacha. This is a statement from Manu, Manu Smriti, that the entire body of the Vedas, they are all focused on teaching dharma, and they are teaching about the atma. The atma refers to Paramatma, Vishnu. Veda panihito dharmo hyadharmasta viparyaya. Dharma means that which is prescribed in the Veda. Adharma is that which is opposite. Statement from 6th canto of the Bhagavatam. Iti Vedanam sarvatmana Vishnu paratvokte. So from this we understand that the Vedas in every way are fixed on Lord Vishnu. Tad vihitasya, tad virudhasya cha dharma dharmatvokte cha. And that which is prescribed by the Vedas is called dharma. That which is rejected by the Vedas is called adharma. In his comment to text 46, he makes one additional point. He takes the word Brahmana and he explains, he gives its etymology. The first point he makes is, prior to that he says that Jnaninaha Brahmanasya, okay, evam sarveshu vedeshu yat phalam tad vijarata api Jnaninaha Brahmanasya phale antarbhavati. All the fruits of that are karma phalas which are presented in all the Vedas, all of them come within the fruit of learning, Brahmana. One who has come to the point of Jnana Yoga. And then he explains the word Brahmana. Brahma anatiti Brahmana aparoksha jnani. Brahmana means one who has intuited the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sahi Brahma Gacchati. He is a person who can approach Lord Vishnu. In Madhvacharya's language, Brahman and Vishnu are synonymous. Brahma Shabdascha Vishnaveva. Famous statement in his Brahma Sutra Bhashya. In Brahman, is a name of Lord Vishnu. He tackles this point that there are so many statements that if you have the desire to go to a heavenly planets, then you must engage in such and such a sacrifice. So it appears that not only is that prescribed activity, well, not only is that activity prescribed, the desire is also prescribed. There are people who think like this. Kamatmanam nindam krita katham mesham swarga kamo yajete ityado kamasya api vihitatva ityata aha karmanyeveti. That very mundane desire to go to the heavenly planets, that is also prescribed in the Veda. In other words, you must desire to go to the Veda, to go to heavenly planets. Not just that if you have the desire, you go, but you must also desire. So there are some people who think like this. Krishna is saying, no, don't do this. You must only, you have only a right to engage in your karma, not in the karma phala. First thing that he points out is, when Krishna says karmanyeva adhikaraste, you have only an eligibility to engage in this mundane karma. Madhvacharya first of all points out this is not for, this is not really talking to Arjuna. When Madhva talks about Arjuna, he is actually talking about Indra. Indra, the demigod Indra is considered an incarnate, he is considered to have incarnated as Arjuna. So he is talking of Indra. So he points out, it's not that Indra is going to get, is only qualified to do karma. Indra is a spiritually elevated soul. He is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. So Indra is not having this problem. And Arjuna is considered a very great jnani. He is not considered a foolish, dull-headed person like Shankaracharya has presented. And he quotes a list from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, a list of very elevated souls, exalted souls, where Arjuna's name comes. Parthashtishena Vidurashrutadeva Varyah. So Arjuna comes there. These are all great people. So he first of all points out that Arjuna is not a foolish person. So in that way he denies the Mayavadi misinterpretation of this verse. And then he says, Kama Nishedevatra. Here, that the material desire for that karma phala, that is prohibited here. Phalani hi asvatant yena bhavanti. Nahi karma phalani karma abhave yatnataha vi bhavanti. You cannot get the karma phalas if you don't do that karma. Okay. Take attainment of heavenly planets. That's karma phala. Engaging in the religious war. That is karma. Karma phalas cannot be attained if you don't do those karma. You have to do that karma. You cannot say, I won't follow the Vedas, but I'll attain what the Vedas are saying some other way. That is impossible. That you cannot get out of. But you must only be focused on karma, not the karma phala. You should not do that. Then why does Krishna talk about, why do the Vedas talk about this, desire? If you desire heavenly planets, do this. If you desire that, do that. Why do they speak about that in the first place? Then he explains, Kama vachananam tu tatparyam bhagavata eva uktam. The actual intention behind such statements is presented by the Supreme Lord in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Rochanartham phalashruti yatha bhaishajya rochanam ityado bhagavate. As it is stated in the Bhagavatam, these statements are just to induce you to do these activities. See, there is something called phalashruti. Phalashruti means scriptural statement which talk about the mundane fruits. Even in the Bhagavatam you will find. Even in Bhagavad Gita you will find. Towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, after Krishna spoke all these things, he says, anyone who studies this, he will go to the planets, the higher planetary systems where the pious souls who do Ashwamedha Yajna, they live, he will go there. This is called a Phalashruti. Similarly, in Mahabharata, in Bhagavatam also, in Bhagavatam also it is stated, if a Brahmana studies the Bhagavatam, then he will become very learned. If a Kshatriya studies the Bhagavatam, he will become a king of the entire earth. If a Vaishya studies the Bhagavatam, he will become very rich. A Shudra who It's like that. There are so many statements like that. These are scriptural statements giving fruit. These are obviously karma phala, the fruits. So why does why these things are presented? These things are presented like an incentive. It's like the carrot. If you show a carrot to a donkey, then the donkey starts moving. So if you keep that carrot in front of the donkey will always move. So like this, the Vedas are showing this. Here, you want this now? You want this, isn't it? So do this. So you listen to the Veda, listen to the Veda, listen to the Veda. That's the whole point. Because eventually you'll get a taste. You'll develop confidence. This is what Baladeva Vidyabhushan has already explained. You'll develop that taste. You'll develop that confidence. Yes. If I follow the Veda, then I'm able to get what is promised. So then he will come in touch with, he might come in touch with the higher portions of the Vedas, Upanishads, which tell you, hey, higher than all these karma phalas is the Supreme Personality of God and His part and parcel, the Jivatma. Why don't you attempt to get this? And then by that time you already have the confidence. Yes, now I'll move up. Instead of this material world, let me move up higher. So in order to give that confidence, therefore these phalashrutis, these scriptural statements about these phalas, they are presented. Yatha bhaishajya rochanam. Just as in the example I told you, like a mother gives some, says that if you want the sugar candy, you must take this medicine. So then the child will take the medicine. So like that the Vedas are saying, you want the sense kind of, you want this? Do you want this? Fine, listen to us. Listen to us. Do this. Do what Lord Vishnu has prescribed. If you do it, you'll get it. Do it. So it's just another way of trapping the conditioned soul into obedience to the Supreme Lord. Yeah.
At what stage a person comes to know that he is enjoying the fruits of what he did? For example, going to heavenly planets. Now, one is not going in this lifetime. It's in the next lifetime.
Yes.
So does a person, and then again he comes back to the earth.
No, but he is made to understand.
When he is in heaven.
When he is in heaven, when he is here also, the Lord makes one understand that just like how do we know that the process of Krishna consciousness works? It's like if I have to go from here to Calcutta, okay, and someone tells me, first you will come across a place called Krishnanagar, then you will come across a place called Ranakhara, and then you will come to a place called Barasa. So now while I am going, I don't know if this bus is actually going or not. How do I know? I haven't reached Calcutta. But I see the same milestones. I see the predicted milestones. So in that way my confidence gradually, incrementally increases. So like that. Like the process.
Ata eva kami yajayate iti artha, natu kami bhuto iti artha.
Therefore, the Vedas are saying, if you have such a desire, you do such a sacrifice. They don't say, first develop those desires and then do that sacrifice. They don't say that. If you have some mundane desire, perform such sacrifices to fulfill those desires. They don't say, you must have those desires. They don't say that. Nishkamam jnana purvam cha iti vachanat. Because there are statements, like in Manasamhita it is stated that, and in Pancharatrik text also it is stated that one who seeks liberation, one who is nishkama and who has spiritual knowledge of spiritual reality, then that person can move towards liberation. So there also there are statements that you should not have a desire for karma phala. Vakshamanaibhyascha. And there are many statements which are going to come in the future. So don't be attached to this. But then this doesn't mean that one should not be attached to any of the fruits presented in the Vedas. Because there are fruits within the three modes of material nature, but there are also fruits beyond the three modes of material nature. Spiritual fruits. Anya phala abhavepi mat prasadakhya phala bhavat. There is the fruit of satisfying me. There is the fruit of satisfying me. If you engage in certain activities which please me, those activities give me happiness. The Supreme Personality of God has become satisfied. That fruit you must desire. That fruit you must desire.
Is it not required Shalam Parama?
No, Madhvacharya is pointing out that there are certain activities if you do, Krishna becomes satisfied. Krishna becomes satisfied. The Vedas also say, if you engage in Shuddha Bhakti, Lord Vishnu becomes happy. So that is also a phala, no? Because it is presented in the Veda, that is also karma. Whatever is presented in the Veda, that is dharma. Okay. So when they say, if you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna becomes happy. Chant Hare Krishna, that is the dharma, karma.
I know
it.
Krishna will be happy, then I will be happy.
That may be, may not be. That's a different thing. But Krishna will be happy. So, that is also a phala, no? That is also a fruit. So, Madhvacharya points out, you should not be having any desire in the fruit. Doesn't mean you don't have a desire to make Krishna happy. Mundane fruits you should not have a desire. Spiritual fruits you must have a desire. So he is saying, Anya phala abhave api mat prasadakhya phala bhava. Iccha cha tasya yukta. And it is very appropriate to have such desires. It is not that one should have no desire. One should have no material desire. One should have spiritual desire. Vrinimahete paritoshanaya ityati mahadacharat. There are statements in Srimad Bhagavatam that we will accept those activities which give you full satisfaction. So from this we understand that this is the behavior of the learned, exalted souls. Anindanat, visheshataha, itaranindanatcha. And this is never criticized. Nowhere in the Vedas do they tell you that you must not perform activities which please the Supreme Lord. They criticize you trying to go to heavenly planets. They criticize you trying to enjoy this world. They never criticize you trying to make the Supreme Lord happy. So it is never criticized. Visheshataha itaranindanacha. And specifically, everything other than this is criticized. Samanyam Vishesho Badhate Iticha Prasiddham. So generally the general statement is, you know, don't have any desire for any of the fruits, for any of the Vedic statements. However, there is an exception. The exception is, if that fruit is satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, you must desire that. So he is saying that an exception cancels an exception. You know, if you have a specific statement to the contrary and you have a generic statement, then that becomes an exception. And he gives an example, Sarvananaya Naikam Maitram Ityadam. Bring everyone except Maitra. You bring everyone to this house. Suppose you're calling people for lunch. You bring everyone in this village except Maitra. So that means you don't bring him. So similarly, the Vedas, they say you give up this desire for any of the fruits presented in the Vedas. You give it up. Except pleasing the Supreme Lord. That you must have. That is good desire. Except that. Naikatmata me sprihyanti kechit bhaktim anvichantaha brahma jigyasa vigyaya pragyam drashtavya ityadi vachanebhya swartha sevakam prati natatha sneha. Pure devotees don't even desire to attain liberation. They only desire devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So there are many statements like this in the scriptures. You must inquire about the Supreme Lord's nature in order to become his pure devotee. You must realize the Supreme Lord. And so on. There are so many statements. So the Lord has a lot of affection for these people who have spotless devotion for him. So for one who is a selfish servant, the Lord does not have so much of affection. Kim dadami ityukte sevadi achakam prati bahutarasneha iti loka prasiddha nyayacha bhakti jnanaadi pravartana karya iti siddham. Suppose someone asks, a master asks a servant, what can I give you? And the servant says, I don't want anything other than serving you. I simply want to serve you and make you happy. Then that person has a lot of affection for him. This we see even in this world. So from that we understand that whenever there are prayers to the Supreme Lord for devotional service, for enlightenment in devotional service, etc., these things must be done. Other Vedic activities should not be done. Yes.
There are some philosophies related to prarabdha or like current life is like an arrow that are all left above. But
current life is
like an arrow that has already left the bow.
Correct. That's correct.
And so we are going to suffer while enjoying whatever fruits.
Correct. 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 Yes.
Like the sea or luck. And so whatever we are doing now would be for the next lifetime.
And these are all material. Yes. Any activity outside of Vishnu Bhakti is going to produce that. That's correct.
So where do we come across those theories in all literatures?
When?
When do we come across that type of theory in our literature, Prarabdha and all that?
Prarabdha will come. These are all dealt with in detail in Bhagavatam. It's come in Bhagavatam. In Nectar of Devotion also it comes. That's a fact. That is obviously a fact. It's a very obvious fact. Any activity other than devotional service, any human being from the age of 14, Madhva gives this information. It will come here actually. We will study that. From the age of 14, any boy or girl, man or woman, performs any activity other than devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is going to get a minimum reaction of 10 lifetimes. 10 lifetimes you are going to enjoy or suffer for that activity. Any activity, whatever activity it may be, 10 lifetimes. So whatever I am experiencing now, at least 10 lifetimes back I have done something. If not more. There are some activities which produce reactions for 70, 80 lifetimes, 100 lifetimes. So repeatedly one goes on getting. So it's a fact. That is a correct point. It's correct. It's not wrong. But that is a limited application. That only applies to material activities. It does not apply to activities which produce liberation from material bondage. It's a fact.
So this lifetime is not going to change. Does that mean so?
Our material experiences in this lifetime will not change, but if one takes to Krishna consciousness, corresponding to one's intensity in Krishna consciousness, the Lord releases that person from any karmic reaction which is an obstacle for spiritual progress. So that doesn't mean I will not get sick. If that sickness helps me become Krishna conscious, Krishna will give me that. If that sickness is not going to help me become Krishna conscious, you'll just cancel it. That's all. So one who takes to Krishna consciousness, his karma is gone. But those who don't take, that's
even
a
fact. For the current life.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Okay, then one more point he makes. Yogastha. Sangam phalasneham tyaktva. Please give up this affection for the karma phala. Okay, I'll stop with this. Shri Madhva, his comment on second comment is quite extensive. And I'm not going to go into great detail. One point only I'll make. His second explanation of Traigunya Vishaya Veda is very beautiful. He splits this word, Traigunya Vishaya, differently. Traigunyakhyam visham yapayanti apagamayanti iti traigunya vishayaha. Ashritya vedamstupumam traigunya visaharinaha nistraigunyo bhaven nityam vasudevaika samshayaha iti cha. So he explains this. Traigunya vishaya veda means, he splits it as traigunya plus visha plus yaha. Traigunya means anything within the three modes of material nature, or the effect of three modes of material nature. That means this world, material world, which is within the three modes of material nature. Visha means poison. Yaha means those which take away, those which remove. So Traigunya Vishayaha means that Traigunya Vishayaha Vedaha means that the Vedas, they remove the poison of the three modes of material nature. So they remove that. And he gives a supporting evidence that anyone who takes shelter of the Vedas, any man who takes shelter of the Vedas, which remove the poison of the three modes, he becomes Nistraigunya. He becomes transcendental to the three modes. And he eternally is fixed in shelter, exclusive shelter of Lord Vasudeva. And then he explains what Nityasattvastha means. Nirdvandvo Nityasattvastho Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. Nityasattvastha means Santata Vishnu Smaranam Nityasattvasthatvam Paramatma Mama Swami Iti Jnanam Atmavatvam. Nityasattvastham means that one is constantly meditating on Lord Vishnu. Again, when Madhva says Vishnu, he is talking of Vishnu Tattva. That all the various plenary forms of the Supreme Lord. Vishnu Tattva. Atmavan means a person who is always aware that Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of God and the Supreme Soul is my Swami, He is my Master. Tena aiki jnanam nivarayati. The reason why Krishna says Atmavan is to make one understand that you are not the same as me. You should have me. If you want to make spiritual progress, you should have me. Atmavan means one who is possessed of the Supreme Lord. One is possessed of Atma. So from this he denies the Mayavadi concept of oneness. That you must have me. You must be with me. And then... Okay, let me see. Okay. Okay, we are already late, so I'll stop now. Anyway, I'll try to ask in the other classes whether they are able to handle this new schedule, my proposed new schedule. 2:30 to 3:30 is okay with you?
You mean the Gita?
Okay. Because that will do justice to this. Because I'm contemplating that in...
Reduce my personal reading time.
Now because I was contemplating the middle six chapters, the acharyas have commented extensively, specifically our acharyas. And the middle six chapters are considered to be almost like the Bhagavatam. They deal with the devotional service more. So then when it comes to that, it becomes very difficult to for me to cut. So therefore I felt that better as a safeguard. Just keep it like this. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.